Welcome to the Save Your Marriage podcast, dedicated to all the men and women out there who are going through marital problems and want to save their marriages. Here, we give you tools, perspectives, and insight into how to save your marriage and have a thriving marriage. This podcast is sponsored by The Fortified Spouse. And now, here's your host, Arturo Henriquez.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode. Thank you very much for listening. I just want to invite all the men and women out there to book a private complimentary call with me. We will talk about your particular situation in private and give you lots of guidance and put you on the path to restoring and saving your marriage. Just go to www.fortifiedspouse.com/call. That's C-A-L-L.
So on a pretty regular basis, I hear people asking me why their situation hasn't turned around. Sometimes it's a phone call of desperation saying, you know, I've been working at this for a while and I can't get it to turn around. Sometimes it's an email saying the same thing. Why can't this thing change? Why can't I get my marriage back on track? And I always ask a few questions. One is, how long have you been working at this? And the second question is, how long has it been a crisis? Because these are two very different questions. They make a difference. It's interesting to me that there are some people who are calling me to tell me that there's been no change when it's been maybe a couple of hours, a couple of days, or even a couple of weeks since they began to work on their marriage. Sometimes I'm surprised that people will say, I've been working on this for years, that's plural, years, and they can't turn it around. And that's two very, very different categories. And then some people will tell me in answer to question number two, how long has the crisis been going on? Some people claim that it's just now happened. But as they continue to work, they begin to see that the crisis is much longer than that. Some people tell me that the crisis has been there their entire relationship. And some people are pretty clear to tell me that it's only been for the last year or two, or maybe the last 6 months. They give me some time frame that marks some clear change. And what they're all missing is often the beginning points of a crisis were already brewing long before they can recollect. You know, sometimes things erupt long after they've been building pressure underneath the ground. If you think of a volcano, you know, the magma has been moving for a while and the changes have been happening under the surface. And maybe there have been some, you know, bleeds out of lava. You know, we went a couple of years ago to Nicaragua. In fact, I go there almost once a year. And this time we went to see the volcanoes. And that was one of those, you know, those scenes. And there was an eruption. And they call it, you know, when the lava was flowing, not one of these big eruptions like you would see probably in the movies or back in grade school when you were doing science projects, but, you know, it was still an eruption. It was kind of pouring out. And sometimes I think marriages have that kind of crisis where there are problems along the way, but there are these little pour outs and people kind of watch them kind of harden over, right? The lava cools down and becomes a hardened rock. And they think it's all over. But underneath the surface, it's beginning to continue to move until there's a bigger eruption. That's how volcanoes work. And some people will mark that eruption as when the crisis began, right? I would mark it much earlier in the relationship. It still does raise the question, and that's the third question I ask them. Tell me more about what's going on and we can talk about why it might not be moving forward. And as they tell me, it often falls into one of about five categories. There are some others, of course, but these are the five big categories that I see repeatedly. So I wanted to talk today about these five categories and see if you can kind of put yourself and your marriage and the crisis into one of these categories. And it could be more than one category, but at least to understand how to categorize, because then we can talk about each category. So the first one I want to talk about is, you know, one that I say is where really it's a no-go, and that's the abusive relationship, right? Sometimes marriages aren't being restored because there really is a basic level of abuse going on. And I'm mostly talking about physical abuse, but there can also be emotional or verbal abuse. And verbal abuse, I would say, is largely emotional abuse. But whenever there is, you know, aggressiveness and abuse in a relationship, that often keeps it from moving forward. And as I say in all my material, this is not the place to be moving forward from. So if you find yourself trying to save an abusive relationship, please stop and seek help. That's a no-go. That's my belief, because abuse tends to escalate and there has to be a basic level of self-preservation before anything else can happen. So if you find yourself in an abusive relationship, particularly if you're the abuser, but if you're the abuser and can recognize that, recognize this is not the time to work on that. This is not the time to restore it. And if you're the abused, you need to get help and you need to get out of that relationship. That's not the relationship that you or the abuser can restore. That's the relationship to decide it's too sick to work towards. Okay, so we set that aside, which leaves us really with the other four categories. The second one is lack of forgiveness. Now, you might call it a hardened heart if you have a faith background, but a lack of forgiveness is when somebody is willing, that is unwilling, to move forward from a hurt in the past. And let's be clear that there's a lot of things that are going to happen in a relationship, some of them pretty bad, and others just feel bad. Forgiveness is a pretty big topic. It's such a big topic that there's books written about it. There's movies that center, you know, the whole theme of the movie around forgiveness, among many other things. And so right now, I want to say very clearly that I believe in forgiveness. But many people misunderstand forgiving. They kind of believe that they're somehow letting the other person off the hook. And so they choose not to. They choose to hold on to something. It might be you holding on to it. It might be your spouse holding on to it. But sometimes when things are stuck, it's because somebody has refused to release the past and move forward in any way into the future. They've chosen to refuse to forgive. And when you refuse to forgive, the relationship often gets locked down. It becomes stagnant. It can't move forward because every time you start to move forward, it references that hurt again in the past. And every time you start to try to make progress, it's pulled back to that point of pain. Every time you try to step forward, you find the anchor is dug in deeper into that hurt. And let me say that a lot of times that hurt is about perception. That one person may have a very different attitude about the damage done. The problem is the person who gets to choose is the person who has been hurt. They get to decide how badly they're going to interpret that, not the person that caused the hurt. And sometimes people decide it's bad enough that they refuse to forgive. So the second reason why the marriage might not turn around is because of lack of forgiveness. The third reason is because of the process of disconnection. The disconnect has landed and frozen in disdain. There is a very predictable path from not even knowing each other to getting to the place of having disdain for each other that passes through the connection phase of a relationship. And I'll explain. See, when you're first getting to know somebody, there's not a lot of connection. But as it begins to grow, you become more and more and more attracted and connected to that other person. And then there comes a point when you have to clarify your roles and your expectations in the relationships and really the rules of that relationship. And if you don't, it often crosses over from connection to the beginning point of disconnection. And if that connection goes, disconnection becomes bigger. And then the disconnection eventually becomes disdain. Not just that you don't feel connected to the other person, but you dislike the other person, that they are troublesome in your mind. And we begin to look for that root cause. There's something in that, the other person, that is just wrong, messed up, And that's when a relationship really begins to struggle. And so let me be very clear here. The word frozen is very important here. Sometimes people are in disconnection and find themselves at disdain, but can work back from it. I'm talking about the places and the times when they're stuck and frozen in disdain. There's no movement away from it. They're just locked into that place. The fourth reason that the marriage sometimes hasn't turned around is because there has been really no change. This is much more like the lava field where the lava flows and, you know, somebody kind of is worried about it, but it hardens over and disappears and they think everything's okay. So in this situation, it's because the hurts run pretty deep. The promises have run pretty deep and the heart's not been addressed by the fulfillment of those promises. In other words, somebody said, oh, I get it. We've got a problem. Hey, I'll change. Here's what I'll do to change. Then make big promises for changes and maybe even promises that, you know, they make to each other about how each will change, only to revert back to the baseline of that relationship. So you make surface changes and then you go back to the old relationship and there's zero progress. And if that happens enough times, we begin to think that there is no possibility of change, but there really was no change to begin with. And you become cynical towards the possibility that true change can ever happen. The fact is, change is something that you have to take on with consistency and depth. And when people don't, they tend to drift back to their normal baseline. Therapy world talks about two levels of change. The first level of change is when you just kind of make it look like you've changed, right? It's a mask. It's a disguise. It's kind of like putting on makeup or, again, putting on a mask. You cover it up. That's not true change. True change happens at a deeper level when you become the best version of you, which is inside you, and you're not covering it up and you're looking different, but you are actually different at the core. Because you brought in something that you haven't been bringing to the table for such a long time. Maybe you've got a new understanding or a new perspective which complements that. The Fortify program is all about this deep level change because it changes the narrative. It changes the dynamic. It changes the dance, the old dance that's stuck. And it's not that you're trying to pull the other person into staying, because you are bringing the best version of yourself, as well as learning new tools, learning new perspectives, learning how to deal with your emotional baggage so it doesn't trigger you, so your emotions becomes responses and not reactions. And that's true change. Your view of the world, your view of your partner, your view of marriage changes. But when there's no real change over time, it chips away at the relationship. The person begins to trust that there's no change, or change rather than trusting the change that they've seen. The other time, the fifth time that things don't turn around, is because there's no real effort. Or maybe there's been some effort, but it stopped. There's no real effort in the relationship. Sometimes because the person who says they want to change doesn't feel any energy about that. It's hard in a disconnected relationship to find that energy, that strength to say, I want to change this. I want us to have a new relationship. I'm going to put my energy and my effort into that. And because of that, when people begin to think about how to save their relationship, they just don't ever quite put in the effort necessary in order to really make a change. So how do these categories make a difference in your relationship? Well, let's go through them one by one and we'll see that there's a kind of a common thread through all of them. The first one is abusive, and we just want to set that to the side and say, if it's an abusive, I would continue with my belief of not working on it and getting professional help and more than likely getting out of that relationship. If it's not turning around, an abusive relationship probably does not need to be turned around, and it's probably going to escalate in terms of the abuse. Now, there are some times when abuse is a one-time event or something has been dealt with and you can move beyond that. That's a different category. But if it's not that, if this is a repeated abuse and it's clearly abuse and it clearly is escalating, there's no reason to continue working on it. Abusive relationships should not move in any direction forward. They should be left behind. Now, that leaves us with four categories that we want to kind of talk through. The second, that lack of forgiveness, that hardened heart. It doesn't mean the other person is not capable of it. It just means that the hurt is so deep and the fears are so big that it's hard to leave those behind. Sometimes it's a complete misunderstanding of what it means to forgive, to not even recognize the freedom allowed to somebody because they can forgive. My opinion is that the forgiving process is not the same as reconciliation. Those are two separate processes. Forgiving allows for reconciliation, but you can forgive somebody and still not reconcile the relationship. Forgiveness has to happen, though, in order to get a reconciliation. So if your spouse has been unable to forgive, remember that's not a permanent position. There are plenty of things that might change that. I was talking with a couple a while back, and they were going around and around and can never move forward. And then they watched a movie, you know, and in that movie, something jolted one of the spouses, and they realized that they needed to move towards forgiveness. That unlocked it for them, because then there was a way to see how to move forward with forgiveness. If you're the one who's working on it, you can't plant the movie or suggest reading a book, but you can make sure that you're doing what you can to make amends for your past. The past hurts. The places you created hurt in the past. And we have in our program, and I highly believe in what's called a clean slate letter. Now, it's not just an apology letter. It's not that simple. There's a lot that needs to happen before you even begin to think about delivering this type of clean slate letter. And it's called a clean slate because you're starting anew. You're starting a clean slate. But for that to happen, there's a thorough process of bringing out the best in you, of dealing with your emotions, dealing with your triggers, dealing with your insecurities, gaining new tools, showing through action why you did the things you did, why you behaved the way you behaved. And that's going deeper into your limiting beliefs and insecurities, because now you're able to deal with those things that are triggering you and causing you to act in a certain way. And now, because you've dealt with them, you're not going to react that way anymore. And hence, you can begin a clean slate and you can have your partner, your spouse, be assured that you will not resort back to the old you, because you've done the work. You've done the work, and she or he has seen it in action. That's why there's a whole process in our program that is way more than just a simple apology letter. In fact, a lot of people get into crises because they've given so many apology letters or some hybrid thereof that their spouse has actually lost total confidence and faith about the apology, because there's no amends, there's no action to back up the apology. So in the process of forgiveness, with an apology letter, a clean slate letter, whatever you want to call it, it begins the process of creating a platform to build from. You ask specifically for forgiveness and you demonstrate through actions that you recognize what you should be forgiven for, what you would like to be forgiven for. And that also requires for you to be your better self, to really look and focus on that place that you need to be, that real emotional, internal, deep change. Because the wrong thing is for somebody to forgive somebody who's going to repeatedly hurt them after the forgiveness is given. And guess what happens? They will not forget. And that's what probably has happened to many of you out there listening, is that the apology had no substance. And so that's still lurking in there. And the forgiving process is an exception that there'll be something different. I would be foolish to forgive somebody and only wait around to be re-injured by that same person. So part of asking for forgiveness is committing and making the changes necessary to not let that happen again, if at all possible. The third thing, disconnection that's frozen in disdain, requires efforts to slowly reconnect. A lot of the process I talk about in reconnecting, our aim is to make slow movements. It's in the little things consistently over time. Because the worst you can do when you're in that place is to try too hard or to go too fast. You know, with these grand gestures and you know, date nights and presents and all this other stuff. None of that is about connection. It's little things every single day that you need to do in your tone of voice, in the words you use, in your non-verbal body language, in how you look at your spouse, in your positive energy, among many, many other things, how you treat other people, how you show empathy, how you show humility, and many, many other things, but little things that add up exponentially over time. You know, there's a lot of research out there about people who have fallen into cold water. And one of the dangers of someone who's been in cold water or hypothermic is to warm them too quickly. The body goes into shock when it warms too quickly. And so you have to be very slowly bring the person up to warmth. It's the same with the relationship when there's been this disconnection. It takes a while to move away from that disconnection. The further disconnected you are, the more careful you have to rewarm the connection. Baby steps. Otherwise, the relationship kind of goes into shock. The other person goes into shock and starts pushing against any place of possibility of connection. So part of the task, if it's about the disconnection that's been frozen in disdain, is to very slowly move towards, and think of it as going uphill, slow uphill climb back towards connection. That first pieces are very difficult. In fact, the steepest part of the bottom is the toughest part because both of you are probably exhausted from the disconnection. And so you've got to climb that hill very deliberately, intentionally, and fairly slowly in order to get it moving forward. But you've got to be willing to do the work. Which brings me to the category number 4, no real change that holds back many people. The task here is to create a plan to be very clear about the pieces of you that need to change. Let's be very clear, we all have places where we fall short. We all have places where we need personal development in. Nobody is perfect. We all have places that we can improve. The task of changing is tracking that, making sure that you don't just make a promise, but that you create a plan to take you through that promise to the place where you achieved that better version of you, where you brought that out, but you've also learned new tools, learned new perspective, learned empathy and humility. You're always changing for the better. You know, usually when a spouse says, I'll change, it's to a better place, to being a better person. But that requires a plan to get there because habits are tough. Our mental habits will draw us back to our baseline. And you know what? You have beliefs, limiting beliefs, insecurities that are so deep in your subconscious that are making you do things you don't really even realize that you are doing and why you're doing them. And they're coming from these limiting beliefs or insecurities. And so you need to go deep inside to deal with that so that your reaction, your emotional reaction, and hence your behavior, changes for the better. And to do that, you have to have a plan and you have to make the change. And number 5 is no effort, or effort that has been stopped or is about to get started or restarting the process. And this is the important part of that. There's a knowledge component. If you don't have the knowledge base of getting started, you can be frozen. That's why we have these resources. We have a lot of content that we put out, and we have the Fortified Spouse program giving you the possibility to make that effort to make that change. And for many people, that's all it takes. They need to understand what happened and what they needed to do to get started. And at that point, everything begins to turn around. The connection begins to grow. The changes happen forgiveness comes along. They restore the relationship. But some people need more than that. And if you are one of those people that seems lost because you can't find what that more of that is, that roadmap, you need to search. You need to be resourceful, because that's going to be the difference between saving your marriage or not, between charting a new path for your marriage or not, between changing the narrative and the image that your spouse has of you. Because your spouse sees you now as probably somebody that cannot change. And that means the relationship will never change. And that means that they're going to be stuck in misery, and they don't want that. And so you need to show them that through your change, a new relationship can be had, because nobody wants the status quo anymore. And that's why you were in a crisis and your spouse probably wants to leave, because they don't see that. The only way they're going to see that is something changes. And if that happens, your spouse will now finally see that there is a path forward, that there is a new relationship that can be had with you. And if they see that, they will now start coming back to the relationship, and connection, reconnection can begin. And that will spark the magic of the journey of saving your marriage. Thank you for listening. Now, I want to introduce you to the Fortified Spouse program that has helped thousands of women and men just like you save their marriages with an 85% success rate. It is based on four fundamental pillars. One, gain the tools to reconnect with your spouse. Two, understand the differences between men and women so we can appreciate and be more empathetic with our spouse. Three, learn how to gain inner confidence so we are no longer codependent on our spouse. And four, deal with our insecurities and triggers so we are more emotionally in control and not as easily triggered. If you're interested in learning more about these tools to immediately stabilize the marriage and postpone and delay the divorce or separation, or win your spouse back from an affair, then go to www.fortifiedspouse.com and enroll in the program. It is going to change your life. It is going to make you the best version of you, and it has the highest probability of saving your marriage.
You have been listening to the Save Your Marriage podcast for men and women. For further information, visit The Fortified Spouse at www.fortifiedspouse.com. Thank you.